You're listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week.
I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to kick off kind of this series with an overview of what we're going after this summer. And I want to start just by reading this passage here. And Matthew 4, we'll start in verse 18. It says this: as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting the net in the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I love this line here: "Come, follow me." This is this invitation that Jesus not only gave to the disciples, the 12 that followed him, it's actually an invitation that he gives to us. In another account, in Mark chapter 1, you see the same story. And in each of the Gospels, you hear different versions of the same story where Jesus called the disciples to come and follow him. And he gives us this same call. And what we're going to talk about today, and kind of setting up this concept of what is discipleship? What is it that Jesus calls us to? And he invites us to something, but then there's something that we do in response to in the pursuit. And there's something that happens as we answer his call. I was thinking about, I don't know if you've been in this point where maybe you tried out for something or you applied for a job and you were wanting to get picked, and maybe you got a call that you were excited to hear the answer to this thing that, you know, maybe, am I going to make the team? Am I going to get the job? I remember in sixth grade, I was, I'd grown up playing different sports, and soccer had kind of become my sport, and I tried out for my first competitive soccer team. I was a little later to the game than a lot of my friends, and, you know, in sixth grade, this was a big deal to me. This was like everything. And I had tried out, and I wasn't sure if I was gonna make it or not, because I wasn't like part of, you know, since I was little playing with all these guys. And I can remember to this day, I was driving on these back roads with my dad, and we had cell phones then, believe it or not. Some of us, you know, didn't grow up with cell phones, but there was a cell phone there. And I got a call saying I made the soccer team. It was the best thing ever. I was ecstatic. I mean, this is like the dream of my life. And you know, it just marked me, because there was this feeling of like, hey, I got seen. I was seen. I was chosen. I was picked. Like, there's something about when, you know, like we see in this story, Jesus, and we'll unpack this a bit. Jesus didn't just throw out this invitation to anyone. He wasn't just being willy-nilly like, hey, anyone want to come? There was a specific choice that was directed to this call, this invitation, come follow me. But that invitation required also a response, an answer to that. When I got that call, when I found out I made the team, I responded emphatically, yes, I'm in. Like, this was the thing I wanted, but it was a two-way interaction. The disciples were called and chosen by Jesus. And they were chosen by Jesus, and he was called. And if you read throughout Scripture, he was called Rabbi, which was the word, the paradigm, which we're going to unpack a little bit, of a teacher, of a master, of someone that you followed, someone of high honor. The word disciple, it means this. It's a follower. This is straight from the dictionary. I'm not making this up. It's a follower or a fan of someone. This is what the dictionary says. You might consider yourself to be a disciple of your favorite yoga teacher. I didn't make this up here. We're going to go deeper than just what the dictionary would say. Biblically, we're going to unpack what is a disciple. But the thing that I want to emphasize is many of us are actually following, and we're disciples of many different things. As we unpack this, we'll see this to be true. My question for us today is, are we following, are we answering the call of Jesus? Are we disciples of Jesus? To understand that, we have to look at this a little bit deeper. The word disciple comes from the Latin word discipulus, which means a student, a learner, or a follower. It's one of the earliest places disciples show up in the Bible, which just simply means to be a follower of Jesus. The word disciple appears in the New Testament 275 times. It's the most prevalent name that the followers of Jesus were called in the New Testament. The idea of discipleship can be summed up in one biblical key word, and this is really important: imitation. To be a disciple meant you were following a rabbi, a teacher, but the goal of a disciple wasn't merely to master the rabbi's teaching. Instead, it was to master his way of life, how he prayed, how he studied, how he taught, served the poor, and lived out his relationship with God day to day. You know, there's a phrase that says, copying or imitation is one of the highest forms of flattery. You know, and this, I'm not talking about the little kids that just copied you every, you know, like, I'm not talking about the copycat. Like, have you ever had a kid say, like, you know, you say one word and they just say every word after you? And like, if you have siblings, they know how to get under their skin and they just start copying them over and over until they're like, stop, and then a fight breaks out. That's not what I'm talking about. That actually to copy or to imitate someone is actually one of the highest forms of flattery, because you're actually saying that you're whatever you're doing actually is something of value or worth copying or emulating. The truest form of discipleship is actually that we imitate the one that we're learning from. To fully understand what discipleship is, we have to even look deeper into this biblical term of what is a rabbi, what is a teacher. The word rabbi means my master in Hebrew. And this is something that I was studying all week and just diving into this as we're entering this series. A rabbi, as you would probably know, is a Jewish religious leader. But as you look at not only what a rabbi is, but how Jesus walked this out, you learn even more about this importance of what is discipleship for us, for you and for me. So I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to give you a lot of information that I kind of pull from different places. But the tradition of following a rabbi was actually came long before Jesus came. In the Jewish culture, at age 5, young boys went to the local synagogue to learn Hebrew and memorize the Torah. They would memorize multiple passages of scripture. Like some of you, you know, you grew up going to Sunday school, maybe you went to a Christian school, you went to a place where your parents made you memorize a verse. These kids memorized whole portions of scripture. Like, they memorized the Torah, and on top of that, many other parts. And they knew the word, but that didn't actually qualify them to then be someone to follow a rabbi. A rabbi was very particular. In the first century, they would choose a very elect few, highly promising young men from all of the people that wanted to be his disciples. There was a list that would be behind each rabbi. He selected only those who he thought could fully measure up to his standard and eventually become just like him. A rabbi didn't want to invest in anyone who would not be able to do this. These young men showed great promise in this initial phase of learning. They were encouraged to continue their education following the bar mitzvah. So listen to this. Inviting a candidate to follow me, like we just read in this passage, if a rabbi judged a potential disciple to have the capability to become just like him, to emulate him, then the rabbi would utter the cherished words of acceptance of every potential disciple longed to hear: follow me. With that inviting phrase, the disciple-to-be knew he had survived the rabbi's demanding pass-fail admission process. Throughout the gospel, this phrase, follow me, is a Jewish idiom used by the rabbis to mean, come be with me as my disciples, to submit to my authoritative teaching. Hearing this invitation meant you made the last cut. I want to pause here for a moment, because as we go back to this passage that we just read in Matthew, as Jesus says, come, follow me, it actually gives us some hope, because it brings a very traditional thing that breaks actually a lot of molds. Do you know who Jesus is sending this invitation to? Everyone is calling him rabbi, teacher. He's in the same category that we just read. And yet he extends it to some fishermen. He extends it to people that wouldn't be on that list to be chosen. Jesus was unlike any other rabbi. And who he chose was very unorthodox, which, just so you know, should be very good news, should be encouragement for you and for me. Who Jesus chose was very intentional. As Reuben was talking about, it was a part of building a kingdom that could not fade or perish. But the good news is he chose people that no one else would ever choose. A tax collector. He chose the people that didn't measure up in the standards of the law and the standards of, you know, this system of what a rabbi would choose. And yet he not only chose them, he used them to advance this kingdom that he came to bring to earth. The goal of the disciple, this is the thing I want to just hit home for us as we go after this summer. The goal of the disciple and the role of the rabbi was much deeper than information or a pass or fail test. It was connected to a lifestyle. Back to this understanding of what it was to be an imitator, a follower of the one that we're following. If you think about it, in our life, we actually, like I mentioned, we're following a lot of things, and we actually take a lot of tests. You know, my wife's a nurse and she had to study for the boards. If you're a lawyer, you have to take, you know, you have to pass the bar. And we take tests in our jobs, and we take tests for our hobbies. We go after and we take courses and we follow lots of people and teachings, learn great things, all great, actually all forms of discipleship. Because we're wanting to learn something, and thank goodness many of you have. If you're a doctor, I'm glad you passed your test. Because I don't want to just show up and be like, has anyone seen that commercial where the doctor's like, I don't know, I hope I know what I'm doing, or, you know, there's all these commercials and they're like, I hope I know what I'm doing, but we'll find out. You know, this is my first time. We're grateful that there are rules and there are courses and there are things that we pass that make us qualified to do the things that we do. But in the most important area of our life and our soul and what we're following, my question for us is, are we imitators, disciples of Jesus? This is what we want to go after. And there's something I want to read to you. A guy named Tim Barty, in actually 2016, he wrote this excerpt in the Sydney Daily News. It was a beautiful piece describing a phrase that many people would use when they talked about this process of students or disciples following a rabbi. And I just love this. It's titled this, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." I'm just going to read this to you. It says, in the New Testament, a rabbi would call a new disciple by saying, again, you hear this phrase, "Follow me." It meant that from that time forward, their life would change drastically, as they would be dead to their old life and alive to their new life. They would literally leave everything they knew and begin to follow their new teacher. If you were called to follow a rabbi, you'd be taking their set of rules, their teachings upon you, with the idea that one day you would perpetuate their ideas to future generations. A rabbi's set of teaching in that day was called their yoke. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The rabbis of Jesus' day put a heavy yoke loaded with burdens of men that did not help lift them up. Around the age of 14 or 15 years old, the young men would finish their schooling, and the rabbis would go to these schools and question these young men. They would then choose the best of the best to be their disciples, and they would call in using the simple phrase Jesus used, "Follow me." The rabbi wanted to find out if they had what it takes to spread his yoke. The new disciple would then leave his hometown and everything he knew and would follow him everywhere, giving his life to be exactly like his rabbi. The student would follow the rabbi and literally imitate him in every way, especially his teachings and mannerisms. The one would leave and begin to follow, and others would say to him, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." The students follow him so closely that the dust from the road that came from the feet of the rabbi would cover the disciple. This should be the desire of every disciple of Christ, to walk so closely to him that you would be covered in his dust. You're kind of beginning to catch something here. Unfortunately, and this is not just to this, you know, tradition of Jewish tradition of following a rabbi. Unfortunately, in the church today, many of us have limited discipleship to information that we know, a class that we attend, a program that we go through, and we forget that the very core of discipleship is imitation. The core of discipleship is intimacy, being so close to the one that we're following that his dust is upon us. To be so close to him that the fragrance of Jesus could be smelled on us like it is, as if we were standing with him. My grandmother, she used to wear a lot of perfume. How many had a grandmother like that? You could smell her coming. And when you saw my grandma, Grandma Sutliff, she also wore the darkest, deepest staining lipstick ever. And Grandma Ramona would come up. She'd come up and give you a hug, give you a kiss, mark you with her lipstick, give you a hug. And as you walked away, you smelled like her perfume. You probably had to take a shower to get rid of it. But you didn't want to do that because that would be dishonoring. But the way that you got to smell like Grandma Ramona was by getting close to her. You gave her a hug. She gave you a kiss. And as you left, this is this passage we've read before in Corinthians. It says, we are the fragrance of Christ to the world, to those that are perishing. We need to learn things. We need to grow. We are going to learn things this summer. But the truest form of discipleship is intimacy, is imitating. We're so close with Jesus that we get in his presence, that we do learn from him. But the goal is not to just learn for information in our head, is that we begin to know him. We're following him to imitate him, that we would be like him. This is the goal of discipleship, to be like Jesus. This is why he came. He didn't come just to set the standard and say, do better and try to keep up. He came that we would know him and be like him. A Christ follower, it's little Christ that he's, you know, when Jesus left and we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday today, he said, I'm coming, but I'm going to leave and the Spirit of God will come that is greater than me. And he says, greater things will you do than I have done. The Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, is the same. It's God, but he came and came into this world in the form of Jesus. And as Jesus rose from the dead, he came and deposited his Spirit in us so that through us the world could see the living God. Discipleship, following this answer, the response to the question he gave us, come, follow me, starts with intimacy and knowing him. Back to this, another account of this same invitation. You know, this is the cool thing about the gospel is like the gospels are sharing many of the same stories through different accounts. The book of Luke and Luke 5, which I'll read just in a moment, is the same account that we just read earlier in Matthew. In Luke 5:1, and there's a little bit more detail to Luke's account. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. He wrote more detail than Matthew did. And I'll just read this to you, and I want to pull something out to you. This is the same account in Luke 5:1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So he got into the boats, and one of them belonging to Simon, and asked him to pull it out a little from shore. He sat and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, pull out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the boat, "Come and help them." And they came and filled the boat so full that they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the son of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." They pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and they followed him. We've read this story before, and I don't know if you remember this. Several weeks ago, Banning came and he spoke in our series. We were going on of greater faith, and he talked about faith looks like preparation. He used a phrase that I want to come back to. He said, we're in a season. This was for us as a community, for you and I as individuals, that we're in a season where we're supposed to mend net and build vessels. And the reference of this phrase, mending nets, was to this story where Jesus called his disciples, but there was this miraculous catch. They had been fishing all night, and in their own strength, they're professional fishermen. We've talked about this before. And such a catch came that their nets broke and their boats were beginning to sink. I'm coming back to this because it's connected, one, to this same invitation, come, follow me. This is what Jesus invites us all to. But there's also something in here that is connected to what we're going after in discipleship. When Banning was talking about building and mending nets, we believe that Jesus tells us to cast our nets in our life. The question is, will our nets hold the things that he's called us to walk in? The strength of our nets is connected to the strength of the culture of our discipleship. How we follow and how we imitate Jesus. I want to just mention a few things, because over your own life, there are words and promises that God's spoken. Over this church and community, just the other day, many of you know that Jordan and Christine DeMarco are coming here. They're actually moving next weekend. They're going to be joining us, and we're so stoked. But I was watching online as they were being sent out from Bethel, and Chris Valentin gave a word over them. As they were praying for them and sending them out, he actually gave a word over San Diego. He saw this picture of a stadium being filled, and in the stadium, people being healed and miracles breaking out. That Jordan and we were a part of that. I was going over just kind of our community's prophetic history, and we have words about moves of God in the youth and on campuses all over the San Diego region. I was reading a word that I'll just read part of it to you. It says, God is powerfully going to break darkness over this region. It's important that you claim the region and watch what God is to do here. The release of the authority is coming. I see fire falling. I see wombs being healed, marriages being healed, relationships restored, bondage broken, drug addicts getting healed. I could go on and on, but there's words and promises over your life. There's words and promises over this community. There's words and promises over your family. But these are like nets. And many times we're like, yeah, Jesus, I'm good. Give me the promise. We love the dream. We're on the promise. The question is are you ready? Are you ready? Is your net able to hold the magnitude of what you're hoping for, what's been promised, of what you're going after? Discipleship, and this is why, you know, back to this tradition, is they would follow and they would learn from, not just so they had information, so they had the capacity, the character, the integrity, the authority to be able to carry what they would step into and walk in. For many of us, we're like, give me the word, give me the promise, like I'll go to the conference, and we want now, we want instant, and we skip character development. We skip the process of saying, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Following Jesus is not easy. Read the Bible. Discipleship, there's a reason people don't press into this, because it's hard and there's a cost. When Jesus said, come, follow me, this was not just like, hey, come to Club Med and all your problems. Like, this is how salvation is presented sometimes. Like, hey, follow me and your life will just be a, you know, Club Med vacation for the rest of your life and you're going to heaven. That's not it. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, come, lay your life down, surrender, and follow me so that you have true life, and that as you go through life, which is not easy, which is hard, you will have my life and authority to walk through it. So when Jesus says, greater is, you know, it's promised us that greater is he, Jesus, in us than he that's in the world, that we have authority, but only as we follow and imitate and walk in what Jesus gave to us. Are you with me on this? So many of us, we want the promise, we want the breakthrough, we want all these things, but in our life, there are broken nets. There are areas that, if we're honest, don't look like, don't imitate Jesus. And the point of bringing that up is not condemnation, it's not guilt, it's not shame. It's an invitation. Come, follow me. Jesus says, bring every area of your life. Bring your whole life. Surrender is not just the good parts. It's not for the elect, qualified, extra special people. It's for all of us. Will we come and surrender our life to him, to learn from him, to imitate, to be like him. This is the invitation of discipleship. So my question for us is, are we ready? Are you ready for all that God has? This is why we're pressing into this thing. Three quick thoughts that I'll just break down on discipleship as we head into kind of this theme this summer. One, it's God's desire for us is maturity. Two, God has given us three things to help us mature. And I'm going to pack each of these. And three, disciples actually make more disciples. Let me just break this down for us. God's desire for us is maturity. One of Paul's main points in his letters is that the goal for you and for me is to mature. It says this in 1 Corinthians 3:1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I became a man and I put ways of childhood behind me. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. You get the idea here that we're called to and invited to a place of maturity. This is the goal of growth. This is what we're going after in imitating and following him. And yet, there are many areas in our life that are immature, that need to grow. And we don't shy away from it. We should press into it and follow Jesus. Maturity is looking like Jesus and doing what he did. I was watching, there's a movie that's out. I think it's called Air. It's kind of the story of Nike and how they signed Michael Jordan. And, you know, I grew up in the Jordan era. And so I was having just all these memories of, you know, you remember the commercials like Mike, I want to be like Mike, and Air Jordan, and there's all these things. And I started thinking about this as we're talking about not just maturity, but imitation. I mentioned this earlier, is we imitate and follow a lot of things. How we dress, like, is connected to, you know, the latest style or someone that we respect or want to be like or look like. Or, you know, socially, we follow cues and culture. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of these things, but I'm sharing this to say is this concept to follow, to be discipled, is woven within us, and we do it every day. Again, the question is, are we maturing? Are we following? Are we imitating Jesus? Are we imitating the kingdom that Jesus came to bring? We get to maturity by following Jesus. We say, Jesus, lead me. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus, what did you say about this? Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, our response is, I'm following you. You know, one of the best ways to get to maturity is not only asking these questions to Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Remember, we want to be covered in the dust of our rabbi. We're close to him. Jesus, what are you saying right now? I don't know what to do in this relationship. I don't know what to do at work. Let me get close to you. What are you saying? Think about it. Like, the people that I ask for advice from are people that I'm looking at like, they figured it out. And these are the people I'm like, hey, what did you do in this situation? Have you ever done that? You're like, hey, how did you do this in your business? Like, how is your marriage so great? These are the people that we ask questions that we want to learn from. And this is how we should come to Jesus. Not just Jesus, what do you say? You know, like we go through our devotions, we go through our Bible reading sometimes so religiously. We separate it from our life. Instead of imitating and learning and following him in every area, we just make it another category of something we do. The best place to learn, to grow, to be discipled is in the areas that you're afraid, confused, stuck, don't know the answer. Is that this is where we press into and say, Jesus, what do you say right now? Jesus, I don't know what to do, but I know you do. We get close to him, we follow, and he speaks to us, he leads us. So that's point number one. Point number two, God has given us three things to help us mature. He's given us the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The other thing that he's given us the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the word of God. We're sanctified by his word. John 17:17. He sanctified them by truth, for your word is truth. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to go through this. We're hitting this stuff all summer, but I just want to set this up. The third is discipleship. We all participate in this, and we kind of unpack what is discipleship. It's imitating, it's following, it's learning from Jesus. Ultimately, this is what family looks like. Because if you think about it, in your family, it's probably one of the clearest places, whether you realize it or not, that you're a disciple. Do you know that you, like if you're a parent and you have kids, you disciple your kids whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally? Because they're watching. They're close to you. They're following you. I just, you know, you've probably done this before, but you just sit back and watch your kids and you're like, ugh. They learned that from me. Or you have your proud moments like, yep, they learned that from me. You know, we all have our different moments of this. And again, the goal is to remind us that like we've made discipleship like only the elite, like qualified PhD, extra spiritual pastor, you know, certified people can disciple, when actually we do it every day. I mean, I can look at like, in my life, like we intentionally model things to people. What are we modeling? Just for the sake of time, I'm gonna keep going, but the third point that I kind of mentioned is that disciples make disciples. And this is an overview of a lot of the stuff we're gonna be going after this summer. But in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We're called to be disciple, but we're called to disciple. And you know, the reality is we can't produce what we're not. This is why we have to go. Like we have authority to pass on what we ourselves have done. You know, my girls, I have three girls, and I was when my first daughter Grace was born, I was in college ministry and then was a youth pastor right after that. So all three of my kids have grown up in a house and a family where their dad was in ministry. So like they got used to crowds really quick. I mean, little high schoolers were holding my girls, you know, when they're babies, and they're just used to it. So my girls are not shy. Like they're used to, they can talk to kids, they can talk to adults. And you know, this isn't every kid, but because of what they were raised in, what they learned from, what they saw, my girls just from a young age, they just wanted the microphone. Mostly because I'd be holding them and like, they didn't, you know, they're like little babies trying to like, what babies do, just grab the microphone and put it in their mouth. But they just grew up around it. And so like anytime, like we would be at youth group and I'd be sharing, does anyone want to share? And they'd be like, I want to share. I'm like, okay. Yeah. But they weren't just born that way. They learned that by watching. They grew up in a family where they saw something, and so it wasn't scary. Like public speaking is one of the most common fears that anyone has. And it's not that they're not afraid, but they learned something because they watched and were a part of it. The point is that we actually are called to disciple, and many of us are like, I can't do that. But actually, you have something to give. Do you know we, in the American church, we're information rich and experience and discipleship poor, meaning we think someone else should do it. When actually, you have more to give than most people. Like you have more Bible knowledge, You've been to more conferences. You know more scripture than most people in the world that don't even have Bibles have, and yet we don't think I can disciple. You have something to give away to someone else. And the point is like, what are we giving away? And a true mark of discipleship is that you actually give away what you have to other people. And this is what Jesus calls us to. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to close here. I went a little bit over, but this summer, you know, we're going after a few things. And I just want to highlight this to you so that you're prepared and you can engage with us in this. We're calling this the Summer of Discipleship. And we're going to go after, I'm going to list off some of the topics that we're going to hit. We're going to hit the kingdom. I love what Ruben talked about earlier. We're going to talk about generosity, identity, freedom, prayer, community, honor, servanthood, witness, mission, the word, generosity, and then a call to establish this in our life. These are some of the things we're going to go after. We're actually doing something really cool. I don't know if we have the slides, we can put these up, but throughout the summer, actually starting this Monday, Monday through Friday, we're having morning devotions. So on Instagram, you can go on and there'll be a video that'll go from, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. They're going to go online with the series that we're going through. Probably a little bit later in the week, if you there's a whole website. Many of you got the email that listed some of the things we're doing. We have a summer fun coming up. We're doing pickleball. Again, these are just ways to get to know people, hang out. We rented out down at Belmont Park. It's called The Plunge. It's a big indoor pool area. We're having a barbecue pool party, pool obstacle course. The kids will love it. Some of you adults, this is your chance. You haven't had a moment since high school. You can show us your skills. But we're going after all these things. If you could put up the Summer of Devotions, if we have that. What we're going to be doing is going over and like in depth just Monday through Friday, kind of unpacking more some of the stuff that we go over. You'll be able to sign up and you'll get a text that gives you a passage. We're having like a reading plan that we can read through that goes with each topic. And then if you're able to watch, you can go back if you missed it at the time. We're going to just continue to dive into these topics. We continue to do our summer prayer. So we have our encounter nights and these things like that. The point is we're going after this thing of greater discipleship in our life. Again, discipleship is imitation. It's responding to the call, come, follow me. I want you guys to stand up as we close here. I need to get you out of here so we can get the next service in. There are a lot of areas in our life that we're following, we're being discipled, and for some reason, we often neglect the most important areas, which is our spiritual life. You know, there is a cost to discipleship. We mentioned this earlier, but Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24. Jesus said this to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And as we end today, like, this is a beautiful invitation. I just want to clear any confusion. This invitation is for every single person in this room. Come, follow me. Some of you feel like you're disqualified. Some of you feel like I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Actually, the invitation is even stronger to you because the very reason Jesus came is that you would know him. There's invitation today to come, follow him. There is a cost, but the cost is that we give up our ways, or we give up the counterfeit things, or the lesser things that we are following and being discipled by. And we say, Jesus, I want to be discipled by you. I want you to teach me. I want to be so close to you that the dust of my rabbi, Jesus, is on me, that I look like you, that I smell like you. A disciple walks in the authority of Jesus. A disciple makes other disciples. A disciple obeys the words of Jesus. It's not a program. It's not a course. It's a way of life. And I just think, even as we're, you know, seasons matter, and even days, today's the day of Pentecost, and We remember what happened in Acts 2, where the disciples, the followers of Jesus, after Jesus did what he said he was going to do, he died and he rose again. He said, wait. You'll be filled with power so that you can go and demonstrate this kingdom that I've called you to. You can go and demonstrate what I've discipled you, what you've learned from. So I want us to do this as we close today. I love the word. If you weren't here earlier, Melissa was sharing a word that our friend sent us. So she saw this picture of us as a community recognizing that we know that the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, but he also wants to fill places. You read throughout scripture, there are places that were marked because they were people filled with the Spirit of God. One of the marks of a disciple of Jesus is that they carry the Spirit of God with them. Could you just close your eyes for a moment and lift your hands? And I want us to say this as our prayer. We're going to close with a song, and we're going a little over today, but I feel like this is important, where God is looking for not only individuals, but he's looking for a group of people that will respond to this call. Come, follow me. And one of the ways that our response to this is just, come, Holy Spirit, come, fill me, come, teach me, come, change me, come, lead me. Can you in your own words, can you just make that your prayer as we close in? Can you just say, come, Holy Spirit? You're saying this over your life. Maybe you're saying this over the hard area, your family, your workplace, but my prayer for us this summer, my prayer for us as a community, even in the seasons, we dive deeper into being imitators of Jesus, that we would be marked by his fragrance, marked by his presence. So Holy Spirit, we just say as we close today, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Make that your prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill my life. Fill this place. Fill this region. We want to be imitators of you. We thank you that it's not imitating by striving. It's not imitating by just learning more. We want to learn. It's imitating by being close to you, by seeing you, being filled by you, marked by you. And so, God, we just recognize we need that. We need more of you, Holy Spirit, in our life, in our families, in our workplace, in the hard areas, in the broken areas, in the areas of weakness, in the areas of failure, in the areas of fear. We just say, come, Holy Spirit. Would you find a people that are willing to follow you? Find a people that are willing to seek you. Before we leave, however you need to respond, listen, many of us, we view our weakness and the areas of failure as the thing that disqualifies us, when actually that area is the place that God wants to disciple you, that God wants to teach you to bring freedom, to bring breakthrough, to bring healing where you couldn't do it on your own. This is what it looks like to press into him, and he does what you couldn't do. Instead of running from him, you bring, not out of shame, but out of God, only you. My surrender is, I can't fix myself, but I know you can. We press into him, we learn from him.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week. For more information on our church, visit jccsandiego.com.